This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magotus. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have Second Chronicles and you're looking at verse 18, just so that you won't have to rest on your feet too long here. Verse 18 says, "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord." Amen. Amen. Are you ready to receive this word on this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. The grass withered, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Again, just a reminder, I will be reading or dealing with from verse 12, basically nearly the whole chapter, but verse 12 to verse 26 is mainly where the setting of the story on this morning comes from. And I want to use for a title or tag or thought this morning, the warfare of worship. The warfare of worship. In this day, we have a lot of things that we seem to war with. Some of us war within ourselves, because Paul said that sin is in our members. He said, when I think to do good, evil is present, right? Some of us war with each other, although the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and evil wickedness in high places, so on and so forth. Some of not only war with each other, but we war with circumstances and situations, and there's a whole lot of warring going on. Sometimes it's just many things are just in sometimes a war going on in our minds, because the mind is the battleground for the warfare that the enemy wants to launch in your life. Amen. Amen. You may not know it, but the enemy has plotted the battleground that he wants to fight you on. He's plotted that to be in your mind. Amen. That's why the scripture tells us that we ought to gird up the loins of our mind. Amen. How do I do that? I need to make sure I get the word of God so that my mind will be fortified and I will be able to stand against the onslaught of what the enemy brings to me. Amen. Our mind is where the enemy, he wants to war, because he knows that if I can get in their head and get them to start doubting or start thinking differently, then I will have the advantage over them, because the Bible declares that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, the word heart there means in his psyche or in his mind. Amen. And so we have to understand that there is a constant war going on, that we are not just here and we're not going to encounter or experience some things, but there is a constant war. When you wake up in the morning, sometimes it's a war just to get out of the bed. Some people don't even, do you know that some people don't want to wake up sometime? They don't even want to get up out of the bed. So it's a war sometimes just to get your day started. It's a war just to go throughout your day. And when we understand warfare, when you understand warfare, you must have a strategy. We must transform into what God wants us to be. The Bible tells us, Paul tells Timothy, he said, war a good warfare. He tells us that we ought to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. So this life that we live in is a warfare. It is a fight. Hallelujah. And so when we look at this, our minds have to be engaged and our hearts on one accord with our spirit man, so that we'll be able to overcome what the enemy may bring in our life. Hallelujah. And so when we think about this warfare, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 12, he said to be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, I need to be transformed into that soldier that God wants me to be, because without the word of God, without my mind being renewed, I will remain a weakling. I will remain defeated. I will remain depressed. I will remain disappointed. Whenever I go through my situation, I will not be able to see my way out if my mind is not changed. Amen. And so God wants us to change our mind. And matter of fact, he tells us, he says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. Is anybody here this morning? Hello. Amen. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so what kind of mind did Jesus have? He said that I come to do the will of my Father. It may cost me the cross, but I came to do the will of my Father. It may cost me some ridicule, some lied on, some other situations where people will be out to get me, some plotting against me, but I came to do my Father's will because I know that if I give up my life for him, that he's going to give me a resurrection. Amen. Amen. So we must understand that warfare is real. Worshiping in warfare is what we must do in order to overcome. Amen. And so here it is. We find in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, we find that the king here is named Jehoshaphat. And he was a good king. He was a righteous king. He did a lot of good things for Israel and for Judah, rather. And he was such a good king that he instituted the right kind of worship back into the countryside of Judah. Amen. He was such a good king that they had prosperity and they had peace on every side because he was a good king. You know, whenever you know God, whenever you know him, he's the God of peace. He'll give you what? Peace. And so Jehoshaphat knew who God was, and so God gave him peace on every side. But one day he woke up to find out that his enemies were all around him. He found out that he had some enemies. Amen. You ever thought that everything was going good in your life, and then one day you woke up and you found out that you had more enemies than you thought you had? You found out that it was people that talked about you that you didn't think didn't talk about you? You found out it was people that didn't want you to overcome or to be successful, and they were talking negatively about you, and you just did not expect that. That's what happened to Jehoshaphat. He did not expect them to just pop up out of nowhere and say, we're here to take you down. But sometimes it happens in life, things that are unexpected, things that come about that we don't expect or anticipate happening to us. It comes in our life. And so it happened to Jehoshaphat. I don't know about you, but I've had some situations like that. I've had, well, I thought that these people were friends of mine, and turned out they were frenemies instead. They were not friends, but they were frenemies. You know what frenemies are. They're people who were friends, but they turned out to be enemies. And the whole time, they didn't just become enemies, but the whole time they were your frenemies. Amen. They were there, but they didn't like you. Amen. And it's all right to have them. It's all right to have frenemies. Because God allowed them to get close up to see you blessed. So they can go tell the other haters how blessed you are. That's what happened to Jehoshaphat. He allowed them to see what was going on in Judah and all that Judah had. And they said, we got to go get some of this. They wanted to take what they had. But do you know that if God is in it, that you don't have to worry about what the enemy come to do. You don't have to worry about the enemy's plot and his plan to destroy you because you are protected by the living God. Let me tell you how grandma used to say, Jesus be a fence all around. Don't you know that God will protect you, that he will be a fence all around you every day? Do you know that the enemy, if he could do what he wanted to do, you wouldn't be here today? I know we've been crying about how the devil been fighting us, how the enemy been getting at us, and oh, how the devil just been taking me through. Do you know that the enemy could not do any of that stuff? He could not do anything unless God allowed him to do some of it. But do you know that God only allowed him to do so much because there is a line, there is a limit that the enemy can do in your life. If you don't believe me, ask Job. The Bible says that the enemy came about Job's house, and God said, devil, where you been? He said, I've been to and fro. And then God said, I know exactly where you've been. Have you been by Job's house? He said, yeah, I've been by Job's house, but I can't get in because you got a hedge around him. I've walked around his house, and I thought I can get in here, but I found out I couldn't get in there. I looked everywhere I could to try and get in his house and get in his life, but I had no place to get in. But I guarantee if you would just move the hedge that let me get in, I can make him curse you to your face because you blessed him. If I can just get hold of those blessings. And God said, no, I know Job too well. I know Job way better than you think that I know him, because before I blessed him, Job knew how to bless me. I wish I had somebody. See, the problem with many of us is that we wait until the war happens. We wait until we get in a situation, or we wait until we get blessed, and then we give God credit. But I'm going to give God credit when I don't have nothing. I give God credit that if it wasn't for him keeping me through all the stuff that I've been through, all the things, that the pain that I felt, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, then, oh, come on and say, man, I don't know where I would be. Amen, because I couldn't always eat what I eat now. I didn't always weigh what I weigh now. Amen. But it was the Lord. Amen. It was the Lord that did it. Amen. And so here it is, Jehoshaphat. He has his enemies all around him. And verse 12 says, Jehoshaphat begins to pray in coming up to verse 12. And that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to pray. When you see the enemies, but you know what we do most of the time? We want to confront our enemy. When God didn't say confront them yet. God says pray. Pray. Why? Because Jesus said pray for them that what? Despitefully use. Pray for them. And instead of praying, we want to tell all their business because we know something on them too. Instead of praying, we want to get at them. We want to let them know, I know what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to have it. We want to get at them, but God says to pray. And so Jehoshaphat begins to pray. He didn't go out and try to make a deal with them, but he began to pray. Verse 12 says, and he said, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Look at Jehoshaphat's prayer. This is powerful because he said, God, I need you to judge in this matter. Because we just can't fight with so many. I mean, if it was one, we might be able to handle the one, but look like all of them has turned against us. And we don't have enough strength. If we fight one on one side, there's another behind us and another on the other side. And so we don't have the ability to fight all of these that come up against us. He said, but we don't even know. Not only do we not know how to fight them, he said, but we don't know what to do in this situation. Have you ever been in a place in your life that you say, I don't know what to do? I just don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to say, what to do, how to react. I'm just here, God, and I need you. Now, let me make mention here that when these enemies came up against Jehoshaphat and the children of Judah and Jerusalem, they had to come through Israel. Isn't it something how sometimes your family, your brother, your church member, how they'll let people come across them and to get to you? When we supposed to defend one another, we supposed to stick up for one another. I wish I had. Y'all ain't got to say amen, but it's okay. Isn't it amazing how we all say that we are born again believers, and then we'll let some heathen talk about our brother and sister in Christ? Isn't that something? That's exactly what happened here. One of the enemies had to come across the land of Israel just to get to Judah. Isn't that something? But here it is, Jehoshaphat, he says, let's not bore you too long. He says that we don't have enough might and we don't know what to do, but what we're doing, we're going to look to you. When you have trouble in your life, we must look to God. The Bible says to us that we ought to lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from the Lord. Anybody with me here? Yeah, our help comes from the Lord. Amen. And so when we look at war, when we look at this, we have to understand verse 12, 13. When we get to it, when we look at this, we have to understand that war is going to come. Even though we have peace, the threat of war, the threat of a struggle, the threat of a fight is going to happen. Now, here's my acronym for war: worry, affliction, and rebellion. That's what happens when we go to war. We start to worry about the affliction, because there's some rebellion going on. Because if we were doing what God wants us to do, if the enemy was doing what God wants them to do and have peace with all men like he should, then we wouldn't have to worry. Amen. But that's what happens when you go to war, because you don't know the outcome. And they said to God, God, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to look to you. But when we look at verse 13 through 17 in the outline here that I made, that when we look at it, we got to have the word in time of war. Y'all still with me here? I wonder if I'm in the right church this morning. Verse 13 says, and Jehoshaphat stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. And notice what he did. He said that we all going to go and worship. Ain't nobody staying home. Ain't nobody gonna let this hour pass them without giving God some type of prayer. Look at this. He said, they all stood. And in verse 14, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, came the spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. When we come together, didn't he say with two or three that come together that he'll be God in the midst? Do I have any witnesses here? We have to come together. Once we come together, and guess what? We come together in worship, then the Spirit of God begins to move. The Spirit of God begins to speak. And the Spirit finally fell on somebody in the choir, because he was a child, a son of Asaph, of the descendants of Asaph. And so he came up and he gave a word according to verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah. And ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. In other words, everybody that know how to praise God, Judah. Everybody that know how to worship God, Jerusalem. He said, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. He said, do not be afraid or be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Whenever the enemy comes in, we got to say, but God's. It belongs to him. It belongs to God. It does not belong to me. What I'm doing does not, what I'm trying to achieve is not my plan. It's God's plan for me. Amen. And so we have to get a word in times of trouble. We have to get a word in times of affliction. We have to get a word in time of trials and tribulation. We need to seek God for his word. While we are seeking everybody's opinion, while we are trying to recruit help, we need to start seeking God for his word. While we are asking people to come check on us and get mad when they don't, we need to make sure that we're seeking God's word, because his word will not return void. His word is sent to us to prosper us, the thing that he sent it to. And so if God has sent his word to prosper us, if God has sent his word to heal us, if God's word worked for Jesus, I wish I had somebody. If it worked when the enemy came to Jesus and said, if you're hungry, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. How much more should we seek the word of God? If the enemy tells Jesus that if you go up here and I take you up here and you worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms, when Jesus said that you can't worship nobody but the real God, I wish I had somebody. We need to be on our business about seeking God and worshiping God. The Bible said he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I wish I had somebody here. I want somebody to understand that you must seek God, and when you seek God, you're seeking by seeking his word. We can all day long talk about what we believe in God for. We can believe God for this and that. But if you don't know what his word says about it, then you might as well give it up, because God is not going to do anything beyond his word. He's going to do exactly what his word said. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not return to me void. He said, before my word will fail, he said, I'll cause heaven and earth to fail. I wish I had somebody. The sun won't shine no more. The earth will explode if God's word would fail. I wish I had somebody in here. So we got to seek God's word. I got to seek him for his word. I got to seek him. But not only did he tell him, he said that this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. If we quit taking everything so personal, we'll be able to fight better. If we quit taking it so personal, we will be able to praise better. We'll be able to worship God like we should. We'll be able to come into the house of God and give it all we got. I wish I had some people today that said, I came to give it all I got. I came to give him what he deserved. I came to give him a praise. I came to give him the worship, because he's worth everything I can offer him. He's worth me lifting up my hands. He's worth me opening up my mouth and saying hallelujah, and possibly saying amen sometime during the sermon. I wish you would. He's worth it all. If I would just give him what he deserves, then I would be all right. See, I ain't got time to worry about who gonna do it. Because I know if I just praise the Lord, he'll make it work for me. I don't have time to worry about how it's going to get done. Because I know if I can just worship God, God will handle my business because I'm all in his business. I wish I had a few people. Oh, yeah, I don't have to worry about who did it, why they did it. Oh, don't even come tell me what they're plotting up. Because I know that it won't work against me because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Do I have anybody in here that say, I know no weapon formed against me will prosper. So even though I see it coming my way, oh, it's all right. I'm not going to panic because God is right there with me. I'm not going to panic because these things that are coming against me won't prosper. Amen. He said, he sought for the word of God, and they got a word. But not only did he tell them, don't worry, this battle is not yours. But he gave him some further instructions. And that's why it's important for us to listen up when we come to worship service. Because we got to believe, we have to believe as children of God that this word that is being preached today is a rhema word, is a word that's coming right to you. Amen. That's coming hot off the press from God. That's what we must believe. And so when we believe that and we know that, he gives us further instructions. Look what he said. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Judah, of Jurel. Now, what he says here, he said, tomorrow he go down against them. And I'm telling you, look, for the way it's starting to sound, some of you, if you don't listen all the way through the instruction, you'll think that he's saying go down there and fight. Because, and that's the problem. We get part of the message and we don't get the full message. I wish I had somebody. We get part of the message and we don't know everything that God is saying, because at some point in the message we start texting. At some point in the message we get distracted. At some point in the message we want to write a note and we want to go on Facebook and we want to do all of the other Twitter and Instagram. We do everything else and we miss some very important details of the message. We must know what God is saying all the way, not some of the way. Amen. And so he said that I want you to go down because they're going to be in the valley. And down by the wilderness. In other words, they are going to a place called Ziz, that means bloom, a place where the flower blooms. They're going down to a place in the wilderness called Jeriel, which means founded by God. They're going to go in a place they don't even know where they are. They're going where God made this place. And if you're going to go to where God made this place, you got to come up against the people of God. You already don't stand a chance, devil. Come on and say amen. And so here it is. He says, I want you to go down against them, but he didn't tell them to throw a blow. He didn't tell them to fight. In verse 17, he said, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Look at this. He gave three S's. He said, set yourself. He said, stand still. He said, see the salvation of the Lord with you. Oh my God. He said, you don't have to fight in this battle. Now, that ought to make somebody excited, because I thought I was finna have to fight. I thought the Lord was going to strengthen me and enable me to throw faster than I ever thrown before. I thought the Lord was going to make me more agile than I was before. I thought that the Lord was going to give me some weapons that I didn't have before. But he tells me now I don't have to fight. What do you mean, God, I ain't got to fight? He said, go down. You don't have to fight in this battle. He says, all you need to do is set yourself. See, we got to get ourselves in the right place. We need to stand still. We need to quit bouncing and doing and just focus on what God wants us to focus on. And we shall see. I want to have vision. I want to be able to see the salvation or the liberty, the freedom that God has given me. And he says, oh, Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, for nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, isn't that encouraging? Just to know that God is on your side. Just to know that I don't care what comes against me, the Lord is going to be with me. They may outnumber me 20-1, but I still got God on my side. And so those that are for me are more than those that are against me. In other words, what did he say? He was letting them know what Paul said in Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is on your side, everybody else might as well be, because you are a winner. Amen. And so he says, we need to go down here and set ourselves against them. Now, verse 18, he said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Look at this. Now he's into worship. They understood they had to go through a war, but they got a word that led them into worship. And see, we miss it all the time, because nobody had to tell Jehoshaphat, now it's time to play and worship God. When he got a word that was his word, he decided that it's time for me to worship God. He didn't wait for somebody to tell him when to worship. Look at what he did in verse 18. He said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And not only did he do it, but all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell before the Lord and worshiping the Lord. They decided, because God has answered our prayer. See, we get our prayers answered all the time, and we think it's a light thing. We don't think it's worthy of worshiping God. The fact that he woke us up this morning, we ought to worship him. Because the way people are going away now, we ought to just be happy, glad to see another day. I wish I had somebody. Jehoshaphat, he decided that I'm going to worship God. Now, you can do what you want to do, but the people said, if Jehoshaphat is going to worship, I'm going to worship too. And all of Jerusalem, all of Judah decided that they were going to worship God. This is how you get the victory. This is how you become an overcomer. This is how you become more than a conqueror, because he loves you. And by the way, he loves the way you worship. He loves when you worship. I wish I had somebody. Oh, glory be to God. We have to get to a place where we have to worship God. And when we look at worshiping, when they worship God, their worship was positional. In other words, they said, we're going to bow right here where we are. We're not going to wait till we get back to the house. We're not going to wait till we get to a specific place. We're going to bow because we just heard a word. And whenever you hear a word, you ought to want to worship God. Whenever you hear something that's building you up, something that's encouraging you, something that lets you know that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from them all. That ought to make you want to worship. When you realize that you are the apple of his eye, that ought to make you want to worship. When you realize that he's your shepherd and you shall not want, you ought to want to worship. When you realize that he's the source of your strength, he's the strength of your life, you ought to want to worship. When you realize that I can't make it without the Lord, that ought to make you want to worship. When you realize in your distress, you called on the Lord and he heard you and he delivered you from your fears, that ought to make you want to worship. Preaching better than y'all saying amen. Mm-hmm. That's all right. Amen. I can amen myself. He says that they worshiped. They worshiped positionally. They bowed. But not only that, but it was intentionally. They made sure that God saw them worshiping right there. Right in the open. You know, we worship in our closet, but we come to church and we can't give God praise because of who's here, because who's watching, who's on the road with me. I want to look dignified. I want to look right. But I can worship God and still be dignified. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about David, how he danced and how his wife got angry with him. And David told her, I'll be more vile than this. You just wait. I'm going to get down next time. Amen. And sometimes we have to worship God and not worry about who's watching. And not only was it intentional, but it was volitional. They made a choice. They made a choice to worship God. And sometimes you got to make your choice. You can't wait for somebody to tell you to worship. You can't wait for the pastor to say, come on, clap your hands. Come on, say thank you. Come on and lift your hands. Come on and stand on your feet. Come on and say hallelujah. We always got to beg and prime and pump people to praise God. I tell you what, you ain't had to beg him to bless you. He bless you. The Bible said that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. He continues to bless you. He continues to wake you up in the morning. He continues to start you on your way. Come on and say amen. And we don't have to beg him to do that, so we shouldn't have to be begged to worship God. But not only was it volitional, but the worship they had was continual. Because if you read on down in the verse 20, they rose up early in the morning and they continued their worship service. Do I have anybody in here that say, I'm not just a worshiper on Sunday morning, but I'm a worshiper all week long. I wake up in the morning and say thank you. I thank him throughout the day. I get on my knees at night and I thank him. I praise the Lord in my car at the red light. I thank him. I wish I had somebody. Some of us, we don't even understand what grace is. We think grace is when we say our grace over our food. No, grace is something that is far more than that. Grace is unmerited favor. And so since I got some favor from God, that leads me to want to worship him, because if it had not been for the favor of God, I wouldn't be here today. If it hadn't been for the favor of God, who knows what would be going on in our life. Come on and say amen.